Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hey, Julia here. If you'd like to grow your agency with a new free traffic source, we've put together a free resource for you called the Agency Traffic Blueprint, which outlines how you can acquire free organic traffic for your agency's website using Powered by Marketing. You can get that at getrubyrobin.com/blueprint or check the description of this episode for the link.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. My guest today is Stephen Christopher, who is the founder of WIT Digital, an agency that serves home service companies. Today, we're going to be discussing Stephen's journey of building his agency and what he's learned along the way. So thank you so much for joining us today, Stephen.
Awesome. Yeah. Thanks so much for having me on, Julie. I appreciate it.
So to get started, let's dive into a couple questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit. So, you know, what really motivates or inspires you as an entrepreneur?
You know, there's always the carrot and the stick, right? And so one of the things that motivates me is that I am a terrible employee. I don't like working for other people. I don't do well being told what to do. I don't do well with process and procedure and stuff like that. And so from a young age, I was like, all right, I'm going to do whatever I want to do. And so it just kind of led me down the entrepreneurial path.
Yeah.
And you know, the carrot side of it is, I think there's just a really cool opportunity to impact employees' lives, because, you know, the two places where we spend the most time, where we gain the most, like habits and learning and being coached and stuff like that, is school and then work.
Yeah.
Right. And so a lot of times people just go out into the workforce and they don't even think about the fact that their company is where they're getting most of their personal development, professional development, opportunity for growth, you know, being taught certain habits and patterns and how to have a happier and more fulfilling life. Mm-hmm. And so that part's really fun for me. You know, I take it seriously that our employees choose to work here and that they could choose to work anywhere that they want.
Yeah.
And so we try to help them grow while they're here working and serving our clients. And that's fun.
That's really cool. So you're really motivated by just, you know, positively impacting those that are working for you and really helping them to grow as individuals and professionals.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, how many people do you know where they, you know, they go to work and they're like, oh, I'm going to work again. And they do that for years and years. Like they're just, it sucks. Like I feel bad. I feel like we have a chance to at least impact, you know, those around us. And then hopefully that'll spill over into their family lives and their friends and their communities. And I don't know, cheesy as it sounds, like kind of change the world one person at a time.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I agree. Life's too short to do things that you're not, you know, in love with, that you're passionate about. So yeah, put more good out into the world for sure.
Yeah.
So how did you originally get into digital marketing?
So I got into digital marketing in like 2006 or seven. I owned a mortgage company at the time, and we heard about this, you know, people look for you on the internet, right? You got to have a website, and there's this thing called SEO. And so we ended up hiring this guy that was kind of an SEO expert to help us grow our mortgage company leads. And I was just really curious about it. And so I watched what he was doing and I learned from him as much as I possibly could. And then I took it over and started to grow it for our mortgage company.
Cool.
And so that's initially how I learned it. I mean, we had all these big keywords on the first page of Google nationally in the US for like investment property mortgage, investment property financing and stuff. And so we got a ton of leads from it. And I was like, this is actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
Then I was a younger entrepreneur at the time. I didn't really quite understand how to look at everything that was happening outside of my business. And then 2008 hit and the mortgage company just crashed and burned overnight and, ooh, you know, went to zero. I was in all kinds of debt and stuff. And it was just, it was a great, business learning opportunity.
Yeah.
So I once I kind of realized, okay, crap, this is done. This is over. I looked around and said, well, what skills did I learn? And it happened to be SEO. Mm-hmm. So I had a buddy that we had been talking about starting a company together for a while, and we did. So in 2009, on the heels of the mortgage industry crumbling, we started our first digital marketing agency. And that grew until 2014. Partnerships are hard. I've learned a lot about partnerships as well. We were no longer good partners. We had two very different ideas about what you do when you become a little bit successful. Mm-hmm. And mine was push hard and grow. And his was, you're an entrepreneur. You don't ever have to go to work. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just, we didn't know how to have those conversations in the beginning.
Yeah.
So I ended up selling to him and then starting the current agency, went digital the next day.
Interesting.
That was in 2014. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you had any advice to anyone, you know, interested in seeking out a partnership, or, you know, maybe they're already in a partnership, what were some of those learning lessons that you learned that could maybe help someone else have an effective partnership?
I think just have some really deep conversations and get some clarity about what each person really, really, really wants. You know, what is your idea of success? What are you actually trying to build? Mm-hmm. What is the vision for the business? What is the vision for each of you individually? Are you building a lifestyle business where you want to, you know, maybe get it towards making like $1 million a year and you can travel and you only check in 1 or 2 days a week? Or do you want to build something that's a $3, $4, $5, $10 million agency with, you know, 50, 100 employees, and you really want to be dedicated to the job and you want to build culture and stuff like that. Like, you want to work in the business. Mm-hmm. I would just say, get that clarity as soon as possible. Because any difference in opinion will only get bigger and bigger as mm-hmm. the agency grows and as you become more involved in it. So just figure out what you guys really want. And then at least, you know, and let's say even like in hindsight for me, if I would have known that, and I would have known what my business partner wanted his life to look like, and I knew what I wanted mine to look like, we could have made some different decisions in those moments so we could have set him up on the path he wanted. And then I could have continued going down the path that I wanted, maybe even within the same business. But yeah, we just had no idea. Like, we were just, you know, two young guys that were excited about entrepreneurship and starting something. And we were, you know, we needed money. Like, I, you know, I just had a business that failed. But just get some clarity around what do you guys really each want, and then use the business to help create that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's really great advice. Yeah, just making sure that communication is dialed right in, that you guys have similar visions for the future of the company, and then and then execute accordingly.
Yeah, it's worth it. I know it can sound kind of hard to have those conversations. I mean, it's like any relationship, right? Even if it's a spouse, it's hard to say, hey, you know, this thing that you do is kind of annoying me and I'm not sure how to talk to you about it. Or, hey, you know, I want this and you want this. What do we do about it?
Yeah.
It can seem uncomfortable, but I can tell you from experience, the uncomfort of having the conversation in the moment is a heck of a lot less painful than if you get a couple years down the road and realize, huh, we are not a compatible match in any way, shape or form in business. And then now what do we do?
Yeah. Yeah. Seriously. Yeah. I think that's great advice.
Yeah. And partnerships are awesome. Like, I prefer partners. I prefer having a counterpart in business. It just makes it way more fun.
Yeah. And what would you say about having, you know, skill sets? You know, do you have any preference having similar skill sets versus, you know, complementary skill sets? Is that something that you took into account at all whenever you were looking for a partner?
It is now. Now that I'm a little bit wiser and a little bit older and I've got a couple bruises, that's definitely something that I look at now. And my preference is that we have complementary skill sets. So like, we're integrating a new CEO right now that, you know, is kind of at that level of partnership. But he's huge on processes and efficiencies and, you know, how do we get better results for our clients with the same amount of, you know, employees and the same amount of stuff that we have right now. Mm-hmm. All that stuff is kind of super boring to me. I know how important it is, but it's just not, I don't enjoy it. And he loves it. I mean, he gets up every morning just ready to do that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm much more on the, like the culture side, the people side, the, you know, kind of having our brand in the industry side, being out and about. And so, I'm a big fan of those complementary skill sets, but you have to have just enough overlap in the middle. And that overlap actually ends up being those things that I was talking about. Like, what's the vision? Mm-hmm. What are the core values? And then things like, okay, do you care about people, or do you just care about the end result? And even though he's a very ops focused person and efficiencies and processes and procedures, he cares about the people that are actually doing those things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with somebody that's just running a business as a business, but just having clarity on it, right? If he was running a business that was just black and white, let's make money, you know, people are just a peg in the whole thing, that wouldn't fit with me.
You guys wouldn't be a good partner.
No.
Yeah. I think that makes so much sense, like having those complementary skill sets and then, but having that overlap. I think that makes so much sense. And when I actually look at, so my brother is actually my business partner, and we totally have complementary skill sets. You know, he's the big picture thinker. He's very process oriented, where I love like working through like very detail oriented things. So it really does tie in nicely. And then, like you said, you have to have that overall vision that, you know, that what you're working towards, what your end goal is as well, and both be, you know, really passionate to work towards that.
Yeah. Yeah. And you have to have appreciation and trust for the other person's skill sets. Because there's a lot of times where, you know, he or even other partners that I've had in other businesses, you know, they get all excited about something and it's kind of boring to me, but I have to remember, wait, that is actually really important. And just because it's not the most exciting thing to me, I need to support that person doing their skill set and not just be like, no, like come over here and like, let's talk about vision and culture and big picture. Like the things that they're doing and the things that you do with your brother are just as equally important, even though they're not as exciting to us.
Yeah. Yeah. I think communication and being really, really conscious in the way that you're always communicating with other people, including, you know, your partner, is so important, because, you know, it can be easy, you know, if you're having a bad day and you say something, but you want to always, the way I look at it is be, you know, preserving that relationship, ensuring that you're, you know, just being, you know, really respectful, and appreciative of what they're doing. Cause I think that'll really help ensure you're not going to have, you know, problems with like resentment or anything like that down the road.
Yeah. Yeah. Just from, I always remind myself, especially if I'm having kind of a rough day or a bad day, I always remind myself, like, business is supposed to be fun. Life is supposed to be fun. It's not supposed to be this daily grind of just crap that you don't want to get up and do. And, you know, just this resistance, and you can't be happy. You know, if you can't be happy right now doing whatever you're doing, mm-hmm. and you tell yourself, oh, I'll be happy when, you know, when we hit $1 million in revenue, or when we hit this many employees, or when we hit this many clients, like, you're missing the whole point of what you're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. Very true. I love that.
Yeah. Cause trust me, you'll never be, you think that you'll be happy when you hit $1 million, but I promise you, you won't. You'll just have more problems, and then you'll pick some other arbitrary goal of, okay, well, when I hit $5 million, then I'll finally be happy. No, you won't. You'll be even less happy then. If you can't find a way to be happy right now, no matter how crappy or, you know, small or whatever your situation may be, like, you're never going to be happy in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I love that. It's great advice. So I'd like to pivot a little bit and talk about sales.
Yeah.
So, you know, what does your sales process look like for bringing leads into your agency? And then how do you close those prospects?
Yeah. So leads for us, we are part of a couple different like association groups, because we're very niche in home service. So our primary clients are plumbing, HVAC, and electrical contractors, a couple other services in the home, but there's some best practice groups that where our ideal client already gathers and they already have trust built with them. And so we're members there, we do speaking there, we do everything we can to just add value to that group so that those members can have so that those members can make better decisions when it comes to their digital, even if that's not them going to us. But yet, what do? We build trust that way, right?
Yes.
And so those are really, really good lead sources for us. We put out a ton of free content, you know, specific to home service contractors and digital. And then we ask for referrals. I mean, referrals are, it's so funny. And we're still not great at this, but we're getting better. I mean, when you really sit down and look, especially at smaller agencies, right? What's your number one lead generator? It's typically always referrals or word of mouth.
Yep.
But yet it's the one that we never put effort into. You know, we're always trying to, you know, we're marketers, right? We're always trying to figure out like, okay, how can I do this Facebook ad and what video can I make that's really going to resonate with somebody, or what's the content? What's the title of my email?
Yep.
And we spend all this time trying to like almost trick the system. And when you take a step back and you say, oh wait, our best lead source is referrals and, you know, testimonials and stuff like that. Let's put some effort into that. Let's put some effort into making sure that we've built really great relationships with our clients and got good results, so that we can just turn around and say, hey, you've got to know three or four other people in the industry, like help us out.
Yeah, I know. It's such a, it's such a simple, but often overlooked thing. Just like, what is it? The squeaky wheel gets the oil. Like just ask. It's like in sales, you know, you can go through the whole sales pitch, but are you actually asking for the sale, you know, at the very end of it? It's just like one of those really, really simple, but effective strategies that can garner amazing results. So yeah, I love that. Just asking your happy clients for more referrals, I think is makes so much sense.
Yeah. Do the simple stuff first and then get down to the more complex things that aren't going to actually have as good of an impact.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. And then, so are there any, you know, common objections that you ever hear, you know, with prospective clients that you have to overcome?
You know, we're not the least expensive. We're at the higher end of kind of pricing for what we offer in the industry that we offer. So price sometimes will come up a little bit, because, you know, they might end up doubling their SEO fee when they move to us from one of our competitors. So price is something that we just have to be aware of. And part of how we got rid of that objection is we stopped selling the same way that all of our competitors did. So a lot of our competitors, like just for SEO as an example, right? We're always taught have three different packages, right? Do you want this level? Do you want good, better, or best? Mm-hmm. And you know, give people options. And all of our competitors did that. And so we actually got rid of all of that. And now we just have one, and we call it the WIT solution. And so we basically built what we feel is the best possible solution to help home service companies win in their market. And that's it.
That's really
and we just
cool.
said, this is what we do. We're not the best fit for everybody. Yes, our prices might be a little bit higher, but here's all the things that are included in this package, and it's everything you need, and it's none of the junk that you don't need, right? I mean, you know, you look at marketing agencies and they sell, hey, we're going to write 4 blogs a month. We're going to post to your social media 3 times a week, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do this, and we're going to do this. But if you actually go in and look at the content or the thing that they're providing, it's mediocre. And it ultimately doesn't even get a result. So we took out all that stuff that doesn't get a result that our competitors were saying, oh, well, we do all of these things. And we just said, well, we just get you the result that you want. We make the phone ring and we make you money. Do you really care exactly how we do it? And they're like, no.
I love that.
So we just got rid of it. So we have one package and then we have one add-on. You either do WIT solution, which is all the organic in the website, and then you add on paid advertising on top of that.
Okay.
So it's WIT solution plus.
That's really interesting. Yeah. And it's, I love that you know, sympathize with them. You're like, yeah, it is expensive, but it's the best type thing. You know, it's like, would you really believe that it did what we say that it does if it wasn't priced at this price point?
Yeah. Yeah. And obviously we back it up, right? I mean, we can show case studies and they can talk to our other clients and stuff like that. And so you've got to have a good product to begin with.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Interesting. And then, so do you have any tips for maintaining really happy clients who, you know, hopefully are going to bring in those referrals to you at the end of the day?
So at WIT, we basically focus on two things. So our entire business is around two things. So if there's ever like an unhappy client or there's an issue, the first question we always ask is it relationship or is it results? Because ultimately those are the only two things that we're delivering, right? We're building relationships and we're delivering results. So when you simplify it like that, it makes it easier to stay focused on the things that are important. So we're always focused on getting better and better and better and better results. That's really important. Mm-hmm. But we also separately focus solely on building the relationship. So, you know, we have all kinds of ways that we do it, but we have some tracking in place that shows when was the last communication we had with every single one of our clients outside, that doesn't include things like sending a report or, you know, just little things that we're constantly communicating with clients. But when's the last time that an account manager or somebody actually talked to this client or text them about, hey, I know you like hockey, you know, you're watching the Avs game right now during the Stanley Cup. Mm-hmm. And if it's, I think the benchmarks are within that team. I think it's, if it's under 20 days, it's green. If it's between 20 and 30 days since we've had a real communication with them, it's yellow. And if it's above 30 days, then it's red. So now we have optics on when's the last time we really had a conversation with that client. And anytime something turns red, that's a sign of like, get in there and talk to them. Because what we found happens is, you know, clients would just go dark for a month or two, three, right? They wouldn't respond to us. They didn't want to set up a call to review their monthly report. And one of two things would actually happen. One, it was, they were just really busy and they were happy. And so they're like, I don't need to talk to you. Just leave me alone. Mm-hmm. Or it was that they were unhappy about something. And often it was something silly. It wasn't even like, you know, bad results or anything. They thought they were unhappy about something that we were or weren't doing. And then we'd get this, you know, fiery phone call or email of like, I can't believe you did this, but we never had the opportunity to talk about it. And so if we would have addressed it 2 months earlier, it never would have got to the point where it was this big deal. Right. And ultimately, if results are suffering 1 month, right? I mean, we're digital marketers. Results are not always up every single month, right? Mm-hmm. You're going to have down months. So if results are down, but your relationship is up, then that client's always going to stay with you. So so one can offset the other. Same goes for if results are really, really good, but like the relationship is just bad or they're not getting along with their account manager, they'll stay for a little while and give us the opportunity to improve it. So as long as one of them is up, you typically will keep the client. But you have to make an effort to do both of them. So you always have to be working on results. But what most agencies miss is you also always have to be working on relationship, like get to know them, just send them an email that says, you know, on Thursday, like, hey, what are you doing this weekend? You know, like find out if they have kids. We have some stuff in our like documentation where we know like how many kids do they have? Do they have any pets? You know, are they married? When's their anniversary?
Yep.
And it's just little stuff. And it's so easy now with social media. I mean, come on, you can find out anything you want about anybody in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But just care. Just build a relationship with them.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, you know, if you're just conscious about, you know, you keep that in the back of your mind that, you know, you want to be continually building this relationship. And then when they, you know, mention these tidbits about their life, like asking them about it and then making a little note, like writing it down, like you said, like storing it somewhere so that you can access it. And then one thing that I think is really smart as well is, you know, when you start a meeting with someone, just, you know, talk about those things that you've, you know, recorded, like ask them how their family is and all these things. And then you're just, you know, nurturing that relationship every single time you talk to them as well, consciously.
Yeah. And we teach within our client experience team, intention matters a lot. So when you go in and you start the meeting off with something like that, you have to have a pure intent to really want to know and really care about what you're asking, because otherwise we're humans. Like we can feel that, we can sense that.
Yeah.
And so just sit back for a second, close your eyes before you go into a meeting and be like, hey, I'm going to go talk to a person who has a life and a family and has stresses and has dreams. Like, let me be really present and let me be really engaged and actually care when I say, hey, you know, how's your dog Snuffles? I know, you know, he had a surgery a couple months ago. Like actually care when you ask the question.
Yeah, I agree. totally. I love that. Just being really intentional about wanting to help them and and build that relationship.
Yeah.
Awesome. So what would you say has been the biggest overall challenge that you've had to overcome as you've been growing WIT Digital?
I mean, kind of a weird one is I am kind of lazy. I don't like to work really hard for long periods of time. Mm-hmm. And so I would catch myself working, 7 days a week for a couple months in a row and kind of get burnt out. And then I would really take a step back and probably a little too far and then go back in and then go back out. And so, one of mine was just recognizing that it's okay to not work all the time and mm-hmm. always be on about business. And then creating systems and support and stuff like that to where I didn't have to do those things.
That's smart.
That was a big one. That was a big one for me. I mean, probably initially in the very beginning stages from a business standpoint, it was making sure that we documented how we did stuff, making mm-hmm. sure that we created processes and procedures from the get-go. Mm-hmm. Because in our first agency, we did a terrible job. And then once you start to get, 5, 6, 10 employees, everybody starts doing stuff their own little way. And then you're trying to manage that. And you're trying to, bring on new clients and do everything else in the business. And then before you know it, you get to 12 or 15 employees. And then now this person's doing something completely different for SEO over here than this SEO person. And you're getting different results and you can't train and onboard fast enough. So I would say that was one of the things in the beginning, take the time, document what it is that you're doing, mm-hmm. create some processes around it, and then just make sure that you're training on those and that people are actually following them.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's great advice. Cause like you said, then you'll just fall behind if you leave it for too long and then it's just additional stress. If you just do it as you're going in the early days, it'll just make your job so much easier.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you hate that stuff, like I do, I mean, I'm good at it and I can do it and I know how to do it, but mm-hmm. I'm just miserable. If you make me sit down and write processes for even 30 minutes, I just that's it for the day. I'm done. It took every bit of my willpower and every bit of my energy to do processes for 30 minutes. And I'm like, cool, that's it. I'm done for the day. I'm going out in the woods. I don't know, something.
It's definitely not fun, exciting work, but, I usually just will write it on my to-do list. And then, I'm like, if it's sitting there, I'm like, I need to check it off my to-do list. I need to get it done.
Yeah. So. That's awesome. That's where you're a great business partner in that regards, right? Brother probably knows this. He's like, he's in there. He's like, we need this done. He's in there writing it on your to-do list in the morning. He's like, I know she'll do it.
100%.
Yeah.
That's funny. Awesome. So, where do you see WIT Digital in 5 years' time?
5 years is a long time. So we typically write a vision that goes out about 3 years, and that's about as far as we really look, because a lot of places will say 5 to 10. And I mean, I've done that in the past, and it just, things change so much that you have no clue what's going to happen. And you don't know how you're going to feel in 2 years or 3 years or 5 years. You don't know if you're going to have a global pandemic. We typically do 3 years. So our current 3-year vision ends December of next year. And so at some point in the beginning, probably Q2 of next year, we'll rewrite the 3-year vision. But our new CEO who's come in has made it pretty clear that we're probably going to be 3 to 4 times our current size in the next 2.5 years. We're going to go through a big stage of growth over the next couple of years at WIT.
Yep.
And we're fortunate that we've built a pretty good foundation, and his expertise is around keeping everybody happy, not overworked, and being able to scale.
Perfect. So you guys are just really focused on growing intentionally and putting everything in place to make that happen.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause our employees, when we ask them, what do you guys want? They all want to grow. They all want opportunity. And if the business doesn't create that opportunity through growth for them and pass it along to them, what are they going to do? They're going to go somewhere else it is.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so smart to just find out, what their goals are, what they want to work towards, and make sure that you're incorporating that into the company if it makes sense to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love that. All right. Well, we are getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but do you have any other, you know, words of wisdom or final words that you would like to share with our listeners?
I mean, I touched on this earlier, but I would just remind people that, remember, this is the fun part. There is no future fun part, like no thing that you achieve or no goal that you hit in the future is the fun part. Don't wait for it. Like I know, especially if you're, you know, a new agency owner or starting an agency, or, you know, even to where you get to where like you have your first two or three employees, like it seems like it's kind of a pain in the butt. And you're like, oh man, I'm not making any money. Like, what is this thing going to pay off? Like, I'm working 7 days a week. But if you just slow down and recognize that this is the fun part, what will happen, which, you know, we don't have to get too woo-woo, but laws of the universe and manifestation and attraction, like if you're in a good state and you're having fun now, what happens? You're going to create more of what you want, more of what you enjoy, a heck of a lot faster than if you're waking up every morning like frustrated and annoyed and feeling like you're separate from your goals and you're never going to get there and blah, blah, blah. So just have fun. And plus you'll be a lot more pleasant, like for your friends and your family, and you'll attract a lot more great stuff into your life.
Yeah. Yeah. And one thing, you know, if I'm ever like, you know, wake up and I'm not having a great day, one thing I found that works really well is just being thankful for things, you know, just stopping for a minute, like, you know, just being grateful for, like, you know, rhyme off five different things. And you'll notice that you're just like, have a completely different outlook after doing just that little exercise.
Yeah. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. Well, we are getting ready to move on to the fast five, which are five rapid fire questions. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
One of my top books of all time is Eckhart Tolle, A New Earth.
Okay.
Which is very, you know, I don't even know how to sum it up. It's spiritual awakening, something along those lines. Like, but it's probably one of the most profound books that I've ever read.
Awesome. And what does your morning routine look like?
Morning routine typically is wake up, meditation, potentially a little bit of journaling if it feels right or if it comes to me. And then I'll do some sort of a workout and then get to work.
Nice.
Meditation is, if you don't meditate, I would highly recommend it.
Yes. Yes. I know. It's so, it just puts you in that state of mind so that you can be, what is it, like proactive instead of reactive. Like you're kind of like ahead of the curve. You're not as impacted by things that pop up.
Yeah. Reaction to anything will kill you. You got to learn how to be present and just take things for what they are.
Yeah, I agree. Is there a CEO that you follow or study?
One of my favorites is Richard Branson.
Oh, that's a good one. I like that.
Yeah. I mean, I read his book, Screw It, Let's Do It, a long, long time ago. And I was like, yes. I was like, this is what happens in my mind. I was like, I'm not crazy. Cause, you know, my friends and other business owners would be like, you can't do business the way that you're thinking about doing it. I was like, but I think I can. And then I read some of his stuff. I was like, yes, he's another crazy person. Let's do it.
That's awesome. I love that.
Yeah.
What is your favorite online tool?
For SEO, I like SEMrush.
Okay.
Yeah. I like SEMrush. It gives you all kinds of cool stuff and you can go down these crazy little rabbit holes if you want, which is fun sometimes. And, you know, before you know it, you'll find one new little thing. You're like, oh man, like that was so easy. It was right in front of me the whole time, but I didn't see it until I kind of got a tool to help me see it.
Awesome. And then, so last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
I wish I would have known that there is no perfect path. There is no like answer that's out there that if I find this answer, if I find this one book or I find this one solution, that it'll kind of solve all of my problems. Mm-hmm. That we're making the path as we go. And as soon as we start to, or, you know, as soon as I would start to think, okay, well, you know, if I could just find the right system or just find the right solution or just find the right thing or just find the right group or the right coach or whatever, it'll solve all of my problems. That doesn't exist. it just doesn't. And it,
yeah.
it, you know, I spent years looking for it. I mean, I read hundreds and hundreds of books trying to find like solutions for business and how to be happier and how to get more fulfillment out of life. And then I realized like, oh, wait, it doesn't actually come in any of that. It's just learning how to enjoy the process as it unfolds.
Yeah. I love that. Just staying present and realizing that it's all just part of the growth. You're going to have challenges as you go, and some days are going to be better than others. Some days are going to be a little bit easier. But staying present and enjoying the now.
Nailed it. Yeah.
Awesome.
I love all of those words. You use some of my most favorite words, like consciousness, presence, awareness.
Yeah.
Like the now. I love it.
Yeah. I know. I had another podcast guest on, and he said something to me that just really stuck with me for whatever reason. But he says that I can't remember how he said it exactly, but he just basically sets an intention for his day every day. And he's very intentional about things. And I was like, wow, like I love that. And it's actually something that I do now. And yeah, I think it just changes the way, like you've got this goal. Like if it's like, I want to help this business, or I want to do this, I want to do that. It just, for me, for whatever reason, it just really resonated. And I love that way of thinking.
Oh, that's awesome. That's so funny. I don't do it as much as I used to, but I used to write on a little post-it note. I would write an intention for every single day, and I would stick it right in front of my computer every morning.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's awesome. I love that.
Nice.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Stephen. It was a pleasure to have you on the podcast, and I really enjoyed chatting with you.
Yeah, you as well. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.